When I decided to go back to seminary to become a minister, I was what they referred to as a second career minister. I didn't go to seminary until I was 30 years old. And I was there with a lot of kids who had come right out of high school into college, and now they were 22 and they were going right into seminary and getting their master's degree. And I was coming back to it. I kind of took a longer route to get there. In between leaving high school and leaving college the first time and leaving college the second time and finally finishing college the third time, I'd had a lot of other jobs, a lot of other things that I had done before I got back around to ministry. I had been a human resource manager. I'd worked with hiring and firing people for a not-for-profit. I'd been a trainer for that company where I trained people on our policies, on how to work with our clients, on things like first aid and CPR. I'd been a family teacher at Boys Town with my wife, where we had several young people living with us that we worked with and tried to help. I had been a debt collector for a phone company, call people about their phone bills. How you doing? Got to pay your bill. My favorite conversation ever happened, by the way, one time a lady told me, "Sir, you can't get blood from a stone." And I said, "Ma'am, colorful colloquialisms will not pay your bill." I sold New View windows over the phone, too. Call you up, "Have you thought about replacing your windows? Could we send one of our salespeople by to have a conversation?" A lot of different jobs that I tried, but the one I probably liked the most was I was a cook. I worked for Hy-Vee in their kitchen. I was a breakfast cook for a long time while I was with them. I'd get up every morning at about 3:30 a.m. I'd go in to make breakfast, and I'd cook until about 10 or 11. I was one of the older guys working in the kitchen. A lot of the workers there were high school kids. And so whenever we had a big catering event coming up, the manager a lot of times would come to me and say, "Hey, on this day, I'm going to schedule you to do this catering event with me." He liked having somebody a little bit older, and I was like, "That's fine." So I remember one day we were going to do a corporate picnic. It was going to be the company. They invited their employees, all their families, to a picnic. They had a carnival going on. They had the bouncy houses. They had all that fun stuff. And we were going to be cooking for them. So my manager and I, we loaded up the deli van full of hamburgers and hot dogs and bratwursts and potato salad and coleslaw and watermelon and that green fluffy marshmallow dessert that's got pistachio pudding in it that you only ever find at Hy-Vee and Grandma's. Now off we went to cook for 1,000 workers and their families. The grill that we used was as large as a dining room table. It was huge, and we filled it with charcoal. We lit it on fire and got it hot. And then we covered that grill with all the meat that we needed to cook that day. Cooking that much meat over an open flame is difficult. You have to be vigilant. You have to be quick. You don't want things to burn, so you're constantly monitoring and rotating the dogs and the brats and flipping the burgers so things cook through evenly, but they don't scorch, they don't burn. We had to move fast, so fast that it wasn't really efficient for us to use utensils. It took too long with a pair of tongs or a fork or a spatula. So my boss got a 5-gallon bucket and filled it with ice water. And he set it between us on a bench. And we stood at that grill for over an hour cooking that meat. We would plunge our hands into the icy water and then reach out onto the grill and begin to turn things with our hands. That way we could move fast. We could flip over 1,000 bratwursts or 1,000 hot dogs in just a few minutes. As we would do this, the grill was very hot. Our hands were getting burned. It literally burned the hair off my fingers and hands back to my wrist. Every few moments, when the pain would get too intense, we'd stop and stick our hands in the water again, cooling them off, pull them out, and go back to it again. When it was done, 1,000 employees and their families had been fed. My hands were as smooth and hairless as a baby's bottom. But we could not have done it without that bucket of water. That water cooled and soothed our hands and allowed us to keep reaching back out across the heat and flames. It was a long, hard day, but that 5-gallon bucket of ice water got us through it. Today, as I mentioned, is Pentecost, when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples, the flaming tongues that lit on each of them, granting them the ability to speak in other languages, allowing them to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to all the people. Jesus' message of hope and joy could be heard by the masses, and the people heard the message. The people turned to God, and the church was born that day. When the day of Pentecost had come, Scripture says they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. It's fitting that Pentecost is often marked by the color red. Liturgically, it's the red that we put up on this day. It represents those flaming tongues that appeared, the fire that the Holy Spirit places in us to spread God's word, and the reassuring presence fire plays in our lives. Fire represents warmth. It represents light. It represents safety. Think about a time when you were cold, when you were in the dark, when you were scared. How many times did flame and fire come to rectify that moment, to warm you, to light your path, to reassure you that the darkness was not that dark? These flames today represent God's Holy Spirit sent to us as a companion on life's journey. This, he said, is what you've heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the disciples were touched with this holy fire, they began to tell the world about Jesus, what he had done, what he was doing, what he would do. People heard the message and came to God through it. Hundreds, thousands were baptized at a time. The disciples leading masses down to the Jordan River to wash them of their sins. This act symbolizing their redemption, their salvation, their decision to follow Jesus. As we gather today, we too see a day of fire and water. Mike Nichols has come and asked to be baptized, and fittingly on this day, when throughout history thousands have stepped through these waters, we celebrate this moment with Mike and his family. We surround Mike with our prayers and with the body of Christ as support and companionship on this path. These waters are important to our faith. They do not define our faith, but they represent it. These waters are not salvation in and of themselves, but they are a symbol of the salvation we have all already received, and a sign of our sins literally being washed away. In the 6th chapter of Romans, Paul writes, "Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be reunited with him in a resurrection like his. This is our salvation, that Christ took our sins, was dead and was buried, and then rose again. Following Christ on this path, we are put to death beneath the water where we cannot survive, where we cannot draw breath. But then we are pulled out again to that new life, that new breath that comes from God. And we do this because of the fire, the Holy Spirit coming to us, changing us, transforming us, saving us, but also because of the fire that awaits us. As I have said, fire can be warming, it can be safe, it can be illuminating. But as we have all seen, it does have another side. Look no further than the devastating forest fires last year in California. While fire can certainly be reassuring and supportive, it can also be destructive and damaging. This decision to follow Jesus is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It does not shield us from the fires of this world. But it does mean we don't face them alone. We face them with Christ within us, with the body of Christ surrounding us. The fire of God's Spirit has led us to this place. It leads us through the water because it knows the world's fire waits for us on the other side. This life is full of trial and tribulation. We are challenged, hemmed in, pushed and prodded by this world that does not care for the path we have chosen. A world that values power does not acquiesce to God's easily. A world that values selfishness and greed does not accept service and grace easily. A world that values money and materialism does not accept generosity and caring easily. So we will be tested. We will be tried. We will struggle. And for that task, we need the cool waters of baptism, this sign of our decision, this sign of our redemption, this sign of our salvation washes over us in cool waves, covering us completely so that we can walk through the fire. We enter into these waters to follow Jesus to the grave and to glory, so his message can go on through us. Mike and I are going to go back now and get prepared for his baptism. As you sit here, you'll be listening to the special music Echo has brought for us today. I would ask you during this time of contemplation to think back to your baptism. Maybe it was in this church, maybe it was somewhere else, maybe it was outside, in a river, in a pond, in the ocean. Maybe it was in a baptismal where your parents and your grandparents had been baptized. Maybe you were an infant and only learned about it later as you went through confirmation classes. Maybe you were a child or a young person. Maybe you were an adult at that time. At some point, though, you have walked through these waters. You have been where Mike is going to go today. Think back on that day. Remember what it felt like to be pushed beneath the surface, without breath, without hope. And then remember that moment when you were drawn forth again to new life. Remember what it felt like to boldly stand into this world declaring, I have decided to follow Jesus. Remember what it felt like to be surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, the body of Christ, the church, as you made your journey. remember what it felt like to come through these waters, ready to face the fire.